Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
He often played second fiddle to the star power that was Jim Thorpe. Joe Guyon might be the second most talented athlete of Native American descent to have ever graced the gridiron. We take a look more in detail the story of this man who was a champion from the beginning right through the end of his career with the low points in between right here in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And in our search of going through the records and talking about some of the greatest players ever in football history, we got to cover these Hall of Famers. And so I'm trying to go through and cover as many as the Hall of Fame bios as we can, mixing up the airs a little bit so it doesn't get stale, giving you some old, giving you some new, some of the players in between. And today we have a really special player, one that maybe not a lot of people have heard of, but this guy was really pretty good. And he played on the same team as one of the best players ever. But the College and Pro Football Hall of Famer Joe Guyon is no stranger to the pages of the podcast of the Pigskin Dispatch. There are numerous times that we have had the brilliance of Joe grace the history of both the pro and a college football game. Do a search on Joe Guyon on PigskinDispatch.com. You're going to see what I mean. And what we're going to do is do this segment. It's just going a little bit deeper into the legend of this great player. We've hit some of the highlights, but that deeper look is definitely worthwhile. Joseph Napoleon Guyon was born in the fall of 1892 near White Earth, Minnesota, and his birthday has been reported with dates ranging from September all the way through November by different sources. Yes, Joe was a Native American from the Chippewa tribe and was born Ojichida, was his Indian name, on White Earth Indian Reservation. He may be best recalled early in his life as being Jim Thorpe's teammate at Carlisle under the coaching of Coach Pop Warner. You may recall in our recent piece on a Carlisle versus Army game in 1912, where a block by Guyon on Army's big star tackle and team captain Leland DeVore got the giant cadet so angry that when he went after Joe on an ensuing kickoff, the officials had to toss Lavore out of the game for the violence he displayed on the unsuspecting Guyon with a vicious blindside hit. Now, Joe was darn near knocked unconscious by the cheap shot, and DeVore had gotten frustrated when on the play before, which was a touchdown sweep just before the disqualifying conduct, Guyon, along with Jim Thorpe, had double-teamed Army's best blocker to clear the way in a touchdown run by Carlos Arcasa. Now, you know, Arcasa was a good runner, but Guyon and Thorpe were definitely the stars. And when you have the lead blockers of the two best players taking out Army's best player, DeVore, you can see why it got very frustrating. It was basically the play that broke Army's back in that 1912 game, and then DeVore getting kicked out of the game, well, that made it that much easier for Pop Warner's squad to cruise on to a victory. And what a great victory it was, Carlisle, over Dwight Eisenhower, Leland DeVore, and General Bradley, who was also on that team back in 1912. So make sure if you haven't taken a look at those that two-part series on the Carlisle versus Army game in 1912, take a look at it. It's definitely worth your while. Well, Thorpe graduated in 1912, and after that, Guyon was the man that would become the key cog in Carlisle's offense as the featured halfback. And he did pretty well in that role, too, as Walter Camp honored the back as being named to the father of modern football's second team All-America squad in 1913. It's a sad state of affairs, though, with these years of being associated with the Carlisle Indians school. According to his Hall of Fame bio, that he really only had a sixth grade education, did Joe Guyon. So in order to gain collegiate eligibility, Joe had to leave Carlisle and he attended the Keewatin Academy in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, from 1914 to 1915. So then after that, so he left the Carlisle in 1913, headed south to play for the Ramblin' Wreck of Georgia Tech in 1917. And the belief was made he made the move because not of the unhappiness with Carlisle, but because he could be a player for his brother, who was a coach there, Charles Wahoo Guyon, who was the assistant coach at Georgia Tech. There were no regrets about the move because Guyon in the backfield put Georgia Tech 11 over the top. His first run from scrimmage for Tech was a 75-yard touchdown against Wake. Welcome Joe Guyon to Southern football. Now, Joe went on to be an All-American halfback at Georgia Tech in 1918, and he also helped the team gain prominence and even win a national championship in 1917. That 1917 team went on to have a 9-0 record, scored 491 points, and was for many years considered the greatest the South had ever produced. Now, Guyon played right halfback, where he was the team's power back and best passer. He was a unanimous All-Southern selection, and many considered him the South's best back in 1917. He played another year at Tech in 1918, but besides being used as a halfback, he also played tackle and got that All-American status, as we just said. After Joe was done at Georgia Tech, he was done with school, and he had to make a choice. And he decided probably his best way to make a living was to be a professional athlete, to play professional football in particular. He also tried his hand at baseball, playing for three seasons of minor league ball to make ends meet with the Louisville Cardinals of the American Association. And he also led the league in those 3 years, batting .340. He's also known to have been playing baseball all the way at some point, professionally or semi-professionally, all the way until the 1936 season of baseball in the minor leagues. In professional football, though, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's bio on the great player, he was a triple threat halfback that played in the NFL for Canton Bulldogs, Washington Senators, Union Quakers of Philadelphia, Cleveland Indians, Kansas City Cowboys, Oorang Indians, Rock Island Independents, and the New York Football Giants. And he was known by Big Chief by some as he went through his career. Now, Joe, as we stated earlier, played his early collegiate ball with another great Native American, Jim Thorpe. Well, for five straight seasons, from 1919 through 1924, he and Thorpe teamed up together over a span of those five seasons on four different teams. The year prior to forming the APFA, forming in 1919, the two played for the Canton Bulldogs, and who were the undisputed champions of professional football by having the best record of the teams that participated loosely in the mythical Ohio League, not a formally organized league. The two former Carlisle players seemed inseparable, but it was Thorpe that still garnered all the headlines. And as odd as it sounds, Joe Guyon seemed to have his top seasons when he was not on the same team as Thorpe. That's true for the college and at the professional level. The team dynamics without Thorpe also seemed to have more success with Guyon on a team instead of both of them on a team. And here's sort of a real quick glimpse at the years that they played together. We have a great write-up on Pigskin Dispatch. When Thorpe and Guyon were teammates from 1912 in Carlisle all the way on and off through the 1924 season with Rock Island, when they were on the same teams, they had a 32-30-3 record, okay? So just a little bit over 500. Now, Guyon, without Thorpe, the 1913 season at Carlisle, a couple seasons at Georgia Tech, and 1925 Kansas City Cowboys, 1927 New York Giants, Guyon's teams without Thorpe, 38-8-2. Not saying that Thorpe was bringing him down, but when Guyon could play, be the star role, he seemed to make his teams that much better. And maybe the other teams were just keying too much on Thorpe. Who knows? The other odd thing is 1925, Thorpe went to the Giants. He was much older then. The Giants were okay teams in 1925. But 1927, an older Guyon went to the Giants. They ended up being 11-1-1, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and were led by their defense, which was tops in the leagues, only allowing 20 points all season by their opponents. But their offense was led by Mr. Everything, Joe Guyon, who ran, passed, kicked, and punted, and was by far New York's best offensive weapon, as the Giants ranked second in the NFL in total offense that season. Number one defense, number two offense. That's definitely a formula for winning a championship in professional football. The amazing thing is that he played all of these teams and accomplished so much in just 8 seasons in the league. The Pro Football Hall of Fame inducted Joe Guyon into the entry class of 1966. And while still playing football, Guyon went into coaching and serving in that capacity with Union College from 1919 through 1926, accumulating an overall record of 17-25-1. And he also coached baseball as the head coach of the Clemson Tigers baseball team from 1928 to 1931. And he managed the Anderson Electrics in the Palmetto League in 1931 and the Asheville Tourists in 1932. And the Fieldale Towlers in 1936. From a football aspect, just think of all the great coaches that mentored Guyon throughout his career, that Guyon played for. And we already told you about legendary coach Pop Warner at Carlisle, he got to play for a couple years. Well, how about his coach at Georgia Tech? Well, it was none other than John Heisman, you know, the one the trophy's named after, and had a pretty good team there. And when he became a professional at Canton and in Cleveland, you know, it was Guy Chamberlain, you know, who is probably the Bill Belichick of that era of professional football. And with the Giants in 1927, Earl Podiger was his coach there. So some truly great coaching men that the legends of the game that tutored and molded Joe Guyon into being a great player and got to play on those great teams. You know, so really, the other really odd thing is, you know, Joe Guyon, who started out as a youngster playing football in 1912 at Carlisle and was one of the top teams in the nations, only having that one loss that year, and going on to win the title in 1917 at Georgia Tech in college. And then he started off his pro career on top in Canton in 1919, and he finished as a world champion with the New York Giants in 1927. Truly a remarkable career by a truly legendary player in Joe Guyon. And like we said, he's good enough. He made it into the College Football Hall of Fame and the Professional Football Hall of Fame, and just a tremendous player. So we hope you learned a little bit more about Joe Guyon. I know I certainly did by doing the research. We appreciate you joining us on this journey today, learning more and helping to preserve that football history. We hope you do it each and every day, as we have something new for you every day of the year as we try to preserve that football history, the portal to positive football history. And also join us on our other website, the Sports Jersey Dispatch, where we try to bring you some great sports history of all team sports through the players, the uniforms, and the gear that they wore there. That is at jerseydispatch.com, the Sports Jersey Dispatch podcast. So you can find both of those on Sports History Network and on your favorite podcast provider, or at our websites, pigskindispatch.com and jerseydispatch.com. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.